Hey, Shoujo fans, and welcome to episode 32 of Shoujo Sunday. This week, we will be reviewing episodes 13 through 15 of Ouran High School Host Club. Let's dig in. Shoujo fans, it is a very sleepy editing Gianna here. Just to let you know that Shoujo Sunday is officially on Patreon. If you are interested in some super secret behind the scenes content, go ahead and check out our Patreon page. You can get a shout out in every Shoujo Sunday episode. There are custom phone wallpapers and app icons illustrated by Jello Plum. Ice cream social live streams where Chica and I will be playing games, talking anime, just hanging out with you guys once a month. And the thing that we're probably most excited about is our new live Shonen Sunday podcast, where we will be watching Shonen with you and discussing it live with you. And of course, the VOD will be recorded and released on Patreon afterwards for anybody who couldn't make it by the live streams. We're ecstatic about having a Patreon and the future of Shoujo Sunday. And I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for all of your support thus far and anything going forward. Even if you don't check out the Patreon, just thank you so much for being on this journey with us. But if you do want to check out the Patreon, that is patreon.com/shoujosunday, and I hope we'll see you there. Okay, so jumping right into it, episode 13, our soft serve summary, brought to you by Wikipedia, titled Haruhi in Wonderland. Haruhi's dream about the day of her admission into Ouran High School is viewed as an Alice in Wonderland fantasy. She meets Shio Takaoji as a mouse, Kyoya Otori as the caterpillar, and Hikaru and Karu Hitachin twins as, this is a sentence. They love long sentences on,
they
on
really
Wikipedia.
Do.
They just keep going. All right, I'm going to try that again. She meets Shio Takaoji as a mouse, Kyoya Otori as the caterpillar, and Hikaru and Karu Hitachin as twin Cheshire cats. She runs into a Mad Hatter that resembles Tamaki, a March Hare that resembles Honey, and a Dormouse that resembles Mori, as well as a Duchess that resembles Renge, a Dodo that resembles Kaneko, and a Cook that resembles Ayana Koji. Throughout the dream, they all try to give Haruhi advice, but she only understands when she appears before the royal court in defense of the Duchess. The king turns out to be her father, and the queen, Kotoko, turns out to be her late mother, who tells Haruhi to enjoy her life as it occurs instead of just focusing on the future. Haruhi wakes up with tears in her eyes and sees the host club dressed in costumes similar to the ones they wore in her dream. She comments that the club has too much fun, but her attitude says she's glad that it does. And that is our soft serve summary. Chica, do you have a theme?
I said it's okay to have fun. Life doesn't need to revolve around work.
Oh, I really like that. I like that a lot. I just put that dreams help us process our reality, even in the most silly ways.
Yeah.
Side note, but I'm not trying to derail us, like, off the bat, but dream interpretation is really fun, and I highly recommend interpreting your own dreams.
I'm dreaming about, like, books. Like, not, like, books as in they're already here, but, like, things that I should probably write about, because why am I dreaming about such things?
That's interesting. Honestly, I've gotten a lot of story ideas from my dreams. My longest story I've ever written that I'm actually currently like working on re-editing and stuff was like a 5-minute dream. I'm like, wait, that's a really interesting concept for a book. So I just started writing it, and now like 50,000 words later, here we are.
Here we are. Okay. Okay. Gianna Luna, the author.
Hopefully. Oh my God, that's a dream. It's a dream someday that I will be a published author.
Yes. And then we'll get on book talk. Like,
that would be great. I love that. That's the dream currently. Do you have any sprinkles on top?
The only one that I put, and it's like, it's barely there, really, is the pool of Haruhi's tears.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think just the way that Haruhi is, you don't really see her crying much.
Yeah.
And like, I remember seeing some tweet where they called her a crybaby. And I was just like, when the hell did she ever cry? And then seeing this episode, it's just like, okay, she cries. It's just that we don't get to see it. But that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And so by seeing that, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. I wouldn't classify her as a crybaby, though, but I would still say, like, oh, you know, Haruhi has a lot of depth to her, and she's endured a lot of things and cried many silent tears for there to just be a pool that she could almost drown in, basically.
Yeah, and thinking back to one of the episodes we just recently talked about, where Haruhi, as a child, decided not to bring her father to bring your father to school day for his sake. I think that Haruhi is very protective of people around her, and unfortunately, she's even internalizing that as protecting them from her emotions.
Yeah.
Is something that I've just sort of, I don't know, I just see that as being one of her traits. Like, I feel that from her.
Yeah, and then you definitely get it within this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But then I feel like that's a different segment. I feel like that's more like Rocky Road.
Yeah, we can totally get there. Yeah. I do have a couple sprinkles on top.
Okay.
One of them is just some foreshadowing that I picked up on for the first time, I think, when I was watching this. Or at least it felt like. I'm sure I've noticed this before. I've watched this a lot. But when Haruhi is asked to leave the room while her father and the dean are talking about, you know, her schooling and her future at Ouran, right behind her is a painting of a little girl with long brown hair chasing a pink bunny rabbit, which foreshadows what's literally about to happen next in the episode. And I thought that was a really cool touch of, you know, that literary device.
Oh, nice. Nice catch, Gianna. I did not notice that.
Yeah, it's a cool, like, neat little moment.
Yeah.
I have one more really funny sprinkles on top. I was very excited to share this with everybody. So, super fun fact. I watched Ouran right after I watched Black Butler. And this was like, I basically, when I was starting to watch anime in college, I remember, I think I put on Maid-sama, and then I think it was Black Butler and then Ouran. So we're talking like third anime in. And I specifically remember that Black Butler has an In Wonderland episode, a CL In Wonderland. And I'm just a complete noob to anime. I'm like, does like every anime have a filler episode that's an Alice in Wonderland parody? I was like, I don't know how to feel about this, but I'm kind of here for it.
No, that's really funny, though. It's so cute. Yeah. I mean, honestly, Alice in Wonderland is sort of part of our lore, too, but not really. Shout out to Shoujo and Toe.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Guys, check out our collab with Shoujo and Toe. I'm like still like buzzing that we got to be on there.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty amazing. It's like a feather in our cap. But
yeah,
we got to be on there and we talked about Alice 19th. And Alice 19th was inspired by Alice in Wonderland as well.
Loosely.
loosely, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go into Floats Your Boat. What are some of your likes, Chica?
I think the plot banana into Ouran Wonderland is genius.
Yes. Yeah, I put like in all caps, like plot banana sets off the adventure. I just think that's perfect. There's no other way.
Yeah, because I was looking at it and that's how I knew for real that it was a dream. Because it's like, why is Usa-chan moving by itself? Like, how?
Yeah.
Because there's no way, like, Honey would just have Usa bust by itself.
I guess by itself. I never really thought of Usa-chan's gender.
True. Yeah, we'll go with itself. Yeah, so I never thought it was
going to be. It's a stuffed bunny rabbit.
Like, I don't know, like, sometimes I name my stuffed animals. Actually, that is a bad example. A lot of my stuffed animals are named after food because I was hungry.
That's amazing. That is an incredible mood. Like,
yeah, it's like there's Slurpee, there's Taco.
That's precious.
And then we get to see Shiro, which I wasn't really, I mean, you know, we didn't really like Shiro's episode and stuff, but it was funny seeing Shiro as a monkey and stuff, and then seeing like the vase. Honestly, the vase could be sprinkle on top too.
Yeah, I didn't know whether or not, I just put all the callbacks to the previous episodes in Floats Your Boat, but I guess they could have kind of worked either as sprinkles on top or Floats Your Boat.
Yeah, I love that as well. The fact that like she fell into the vase and so it was just on her ass, and I was just like, oh, it's the vase is on her ass because the debt and Kyoya are on her ass. Like, wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's taking the callback even a step further. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I loved it. What are some of your Floats Your Boat?
Honestly, I feel like my Floats Your Boat are all very general for this episode. I just love the creativity in the episode. You know, it's a filler. It's like an ode. It's a parody. So, like, I'm not really, like, sure how much I can say specifically about it. I do think it's really super cute to see everybody represented as a Wonderland character. I feel like it's the collision of two beloved universes, like, in their own right. I don't also think that anybody would be a more perfect choice for the Cheshire Cat than the twins.
Yes, and then Kyoya being that weird-ass caterpillar man, it made yes. so much sense. I was
absolutely.
Like, I was like, this is spot on.
Yeah, and like specifically, Ayana Koji's cameo is very funny to me. She's like the last person you expected to see, and then she breaks the fourth wall, throwing plates at Renge because she doesn't want to play the villain again. And then just like almost unattached from the scene, yells "Tamaki, you idiot!" before storming off.
Yeah, I thought that was so funny.
I feel like that was like, if you didn't immediately recognize her, because episode 1 feels so long ago, by this point we're on episode 13, her yelling "Tamaki, you idiot" is just for someone to be like, oh yeah, it's that bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I love like, you're doing labor now because you're
right.
You're on the outs.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, Mori sleeping because it's a dream sequence. I was like, perfect. Perfect.
Precious.
Now, him being a mouse, like, could he really be a dorm? That's a rat. He's too big.
Yeah. There's nothing mousy about Mori in any way, shape, or form.
At all. Like, that's a full-grown, like, rat-possum hybrid. I don't know. Like, big. Like, big pest. Like, it can't be even a raccoon. Okay, not
oh,
a raccoon.
We got a raccoon. Oh, wait. I like raccoons. Yeah, because I know you don't like raccoons, but I do.
No, because they just be looking at you. They be looking at you like...
But I'm looking at them.
Right. But it's like, they looking at you like, are you going to step to me? I'm going to eat your food, you know?
Well, yeah, I will say, like, I'm not going to approach a raccoon, but I will be very excited when I see one from far away.
I mean, the only reason I ever approached a raccoon is because I, like, went to a pet cafe in Japan and they had...
Yeah, you were telling me about this, I think, when we reviewed... Was it A Silent Voice, maybe?
I think you were reviewing something and I talked about
something.
I was like, there's this raccoon with no tail and everything. And it was just, I mean, they like them, though. They have a whole different version, the tanuki over there.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah, but, like, yeah. If there was a domesticated raccoon, I would totally be, like, all over it. But just seeing one, like, in my neighborhood, I watch it gleefully from far away.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll just be seeing all the animals. Like, they have deers. Oh, my gosh. The deers are, like...
Deer are so cute.
Not when they're trying to bust up your window shield.
Well, yeah, no, they are cute when you're not driving.
They're cute when you're not driving, but when you are driving, oh my gosh, there's so much going on. I remember there was this one deer, or maybe it was a doe, right? Because it didn't have like the antlers and it looked small. And my mom was driving. I was like, Mom, slow down. And then she like did it, right? And I'm like, oh my God, you kids, no, not Bambi. Oh, like I was doing flashbacks. It was like, ooh, like the war, but not the war. It was just from the Bambi movie. Guys.
Yeah.
Whew. I think the deer was all right because like the car didn't get messed up. But I was just like, you didn't have to do all of that.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry. Let's not go into murder. What else do we like?
Oh my God. When you sprinkle murder on the Sunday.
like I guess the sprinkles are red, you know, for blood. Really?
Oh no, not the strawberry sauce.
Oh god, strawberry. Oh yes, you know. Do you like strawberry ice cream? Because isn't it?
I do. Yeah, I actually have a thing of strawberry ice cream in my freezer.
Okay.
I understand. I'm also one of those people who, like, I enjoy Neapolitan ice cream and I will, like, just scoop across the container so that the scoop has all three flavors.
If there's Neapolitan ice cream, I'm scooping in, like, the vanilla, like, strictly only. Like, I don't like chocolate ice cream. Gasp, gag. I just don't. I'm sorry, y'all.
I'm not judging you. I'm just like, that's interesting. I don't hear that too often.
I guess I don't like the flavor of it.
Okay.
Because I know it's supposed to be chocolate, but does it really taste like chocolate until there's like actual chocolate chips like in it, right? Because then it's like I'm tasting chocolate flavoring, what they're trying to tell me is chocolate and what actual chocolate is. And it just never cuts it for me.
It's like a conspiracy chocolate.
It is. It's conspiracy chocolate. It's Laffy Taffy banana. Like that's
oh,
how.
Ew, I can't. Laffy Taffys. Oh.
Right? Oh my gosh. One of my coworkers said she liked Laffy Taffy banana. And I was just like, blink twice if you're in danger. Like. sorry, guys. I keep getting us off on tangent.
It's okay. I don't have a lot of notes for this episode, so we're making it work. We're putting filler in for the filler.
We're putting filler in for the okay. Back to episode Tamaki as the Hatter. I was like, ooh, OTP pairing, because wasn't like Alice and the Hatter like a thing? Don't they make them a thing?
I don't remember. I have not revisited Alice in Wonderland in a very long time.
Okay. Well, I think maybe it's just because, you know, I be reading the smut sometimes. it is what it is. I'm grown. But
power to you.
I read them. And then there's like the fairy tale retellings. And, you know, they always be putting Alice and the Hatter together. So maybe
I ship it.
Yeah. So I was just like, oh, when I saw that, I was just like, oh, because they've been to be together. Like, okay.
I like that.
Cool.
I'm all for that. I guess really the only like concrete flotsam boat that I have left is that we finally learn that Haruhi wants to be a lawyer just like her mom. Mm-hmm. And I just love learning that this episode.
I love learning that as well. And just anyway, well, that's a different segment. Then the last flotsam boat that I have is It's Always Noon in the Cat Kingdom and the Cat Returns. But in Aura and Wonderland, it's always 3 p.m. because that's when Aura and like the host club starts.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I picked up on that too.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, that's cute. They just did so many cute things. Even though it's like a filler episode, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a filler episode that you can go back and rewatch and pick up on new things each time.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it.
Me too.
Do you want to head on into Banana Split? I actually don't have any.
I don't have any either.
Oh, cool. Then Rocky Road.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, let's see Rocky Road. We probably both have the same thing. I just have one.
I have three, but it's really all one because it's just talking about her mom.
Yeah, it's about her mom. You know, her mom going on that little speech apologizing, saying that she made things hard for Haruhi and seeing how big she's grown and telling her not to be afraid to enjoy herself. Oh my god, my whole heart, especially because she woke up before she could hug her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Just that entire sequence, like every time I see this episode, I tear up at that part.
What made this episode get so deep was when she shows up to court to defend Renge, and then she's defending Renge because she left baby Nakazawa with somebody else. And so, like, you see that the king and queen are just like, you're abandoning the baby. You're neglecting the baby. And Haruhi is trying to defend that, you know, Renge has things that she needs to do. And when she was talking about it, you could tell she was like talking about her parents.
Yeah.
And then reminiscing about her mom, only for us to find out that she was talking to her parents the whole time. And so it's just interesting to see that even though this is supposed to be like filler and like a dream and stuff, but, like, I think even within her subconscious, like, she realizes that even if she is coming up with these reasons why it's okay that her parents left her alone, that it did bother her, you know, for them to be bringing up abandonment and neglect. And she's talking about putting these people like first, or that they're doing the best that they can. And it's like she's defending her parents. But I mean, you know, like heart of hearts, like she did want to spend more time with them. And she had that big pool of tears and everything that we don't get to see of when she like cried or when she was hiding her emotions and stuff. Haruhi's confronting herself within her dream, and even confronting like the way that she justifies certain things that's happened in her past. It's really cool to see. But then at the same time, it's like sad because she's defending it, but her parents, who are technically the people who did it, are the one that are saying like, oh, this is bad. Like, you should be charged and stuff. And I don't know. I feel like I'm just getting so deep within this.
I think it's just Haruhi processing everything through the dream. That's why I made my theme what it is. I think that from my, not to get all like into dream interpretation stuff, but like very briefly, from my understanding, I believe that dreams are our subconscious processing our reality, or perhaps stuff that we aren't confronting, so that we can take a better look at it, even if it's through like a really weird lens of like whatever symbolism your mind interprets in its own way. And like dreams of big moments like this, or like nightmares in particular, I feel like are your subconscious being like, hey, this thing is like something that needs to have an impact on you, so you remember it when you wake up, and it and you're able to confront that event or person or emotion in whatever way you have to. So it was just kind of neat seeing it through this lens and Haruhi doing it this way. It makes me again want to go back and read the manga and read the rest of the manga, I should say, and see kind of where her character goes with, like, you know, her emotions and stuff and how she confronts how she really feels.
Yeah. I love that she was able to confront these things about herself, but then we were also able to see it and see that there is so much more depth to Haruhi than what we normally get to see.
Yeah.
Also, like, the fact that she, like, woke up and she was crying, or she cried a little bit because she was just right on the cusp, ready to jump into her mom's arms, and then like wakes up and there's like a tear, she has a tear coming down. And in the sub they said that she was even dreaming about them, or dreaming about the host club, but then maybe every day is like a dream. And I was like, oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, I think what they said in the dub was that it's hard for her to differentiate between dreams and reality sometimes at the host club. And I think that's cute.
Yeah. Basically, that's like same thing. It was very poetic, but it was a cute ending. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I really like this episode overall.
Yeah.
Do you have any more Rocky Road?
Nope.
Okay. Do you have any hot fudge? I just have like two little ice cream you screams.
Oh, I have one ice cream you scream, but technically I should probably have two, but okay.
Okay. I'm like, which one do I start with? I'll go in chronological order, I guess.
Okay.
I know that you're going to have this too, so like, I appreciate it already. Key to me, right? Yeah, if the word uncomfortable does not even begin to cover it, disturbing perhaps. So Kitami eats a mushroom and, in quotes here, grows up before our eyes. And Kyoya's like, as a caterpillar, I guess, flirting with her when she was like 6 years old 2 seconds ago. I just wrote nope a bunch of times.
Yeah. Hell nah.
Oh my
hell
God.
Hell nah. And then on top of it, even if she was just 6 years old, she's still mentally 6 years old. So why would she just...
Oh my God. Oh, I hate that. I didn't even think about
that. I didn't mean to break first the bubble.
Oh God.
She doesn't know no better, but
oh, I hate it.
Yeah.
Kyoya, why? This review of Oran is like destroying Kyoya for me, but he's still my favorite because he has glasses, and I guess I have to die on that hill.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm a send flowers. I'm gonna send flowers when I'm walking with Maury. Like,
yeah, you two will both lay down a nice little like bouquet for me.
But yeah, you know, Kirami, like, she's still mentally sick. And so I was wondering, I'm like, Kirami, weren't you like all up about your brother? And now your brother finna crawl into this other room? Like, you, what?
Yeah, she's too busy like checking herself out and flirting with Kyuya.
Yeah.
It's a really weird sequence.
It definitely is, yes. The other ice cream you stream that I have, it's a more personal thing, I guess. Didn't she like almost plot banana or like another plot banana, and then Haruhi falls into like this thing of water and then like swims to the surface and everything? That is my worst nightmare. I would die.
Oh.
Oh my god. I can't swim at all. But still, like, falling into, like, just this thing of water and everything, and, like, you're trying to swim back up, and, oh my, no.
Yeah, no, that does sound pretty nightmarish, unless I, like, knew I wasn't far from the top, maybe. Right. But just, like, the idea of, like, being stuck in open water, that's, like, another whole topic that I feel like I was just thinking about that for some reason, and I don't remember why. Oh, I think I watched a Netflix documentary yesterday. I'm not gonna get into that, but mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh my god, I'm like, literally, what would I do? I would die. Like, I just there's nothing I could do.
No, I did mock trial. Okay, this is not going to be a long side note, guys, I promise. I did mock trial in college, and like the case that we were pretending to do was about like how this diver ended up dying because they didn't follow the dive guard's instructions, and they ran out of oxygen. And so like I was doing research, and then I ended up seeing like what bodies look like when they drown. Oh my god, guys.
Oh my god, no.
It's so traumatic, I swear. Like,
I'm so sorry that you witnessed that, because I can't imagine.
It was entirely by accident, because I was just trying to do like research. And oh my gosh. That's why when it comes to people who drown, like, I already knew I wanted to be cremated. If I ever drown, why the fuck would I? But if I ever drown, cremate me. Like, there's just no way.
Oh, my God. You heard it here, folks. If Chica drowns, we know what to do.
Yes, if I drown, in general, if I die and I'm not cremated, like, raise hell, because...
I will personally raise hell if that happens, but hopefully that doesn't happen.
Right, yeah. But, oh my gosh, yeah, it's terrible. And do not look that up if you're listening. You don't want to know what it looks like, I promise you.
Yeah, instead, I will give you an alternative to Google. Go to Google Images and search for kittens and teacups, because you will be satisfied.
Yes.
Anyway, ice cream, you scream.
Oh, no, that was my last one.
Oh, that was it? Okay, the other one I had, because I'm pretty sure I heard this correctly in the episode. The Duchess is being put on trial for attending the music festival by invitation?
Right, it didn't make any sense.
Right. Like, I know it's supposed to be, like, a joke and make no sense, but, you know, I think it's, like, an obligatory ice cream, you scream, like, what the fuck?
Right.
She was invited.
Like, I was invited, and then they're talking about her child, and it's just like, did you invite the baby? Like, see, that's the thing. Like, if Haruhi was really about to press her parents and everything, I would be like, on the invitation, did it say that she's allowed to bring children? Because if you didn't stipulate that, then she's going to assume she can't. And that's why she didn't bring the baby with her.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it for How to Heed Wonderland. Do you want to move on to episode 14?
Yeah.
Alrighty. Episode 14, covering the famous host club. Here's our soft serve summary. Brought to us by Wikipedia. The failing newspaper club has become a gossip rap and needs a legitimate article to prevent dissolution. Editor-in-chief Akira is especially interested in finding something with which to blackmail Tamaki, because he believes Tamaki is using his family's power to control the popular students, and he wants to exploit information for his own benefit. Again, that sentence is so long.
Wikipedia be doing the absolute most, because why?
They really do. Oh my god. Hard as they try, as they observe the host club playing outdoor children's games, they are unable to scoop evidence about Tamaki's non-existent dark side. Akira decides to fabricate gossip, but is thwarted by the host club. When Hadahi inquires about Tamaki's parents, she learns that Tamaki's father is the chairman of Ouran Academy, the benefactor of her scholarship. And that is our soft serve summary of episode 14. Chika, any themes?
I said stand up for your friends.
Oh, I like that. That's a lot. You've had stronger themes than me this week.
You know, I try sometimes. You know, it comes out, I guess. What was your theme, though?
I just put, it's always better to do the right thing.
That works as well. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you. I appreciate that. Do you have any sprinkles on top? I do not.
I don't either.
Okay, well, let us slide right into Floats Your Boat. What's one of your likes?
Okay, so when Akira and the newspaper team were talking about the host club, and they're talking about the sales Akira was getting for, like, this magazine, like, with Tamaki's photos in it, and then Renge selling a Jojinshi of the host club, and it's so successful that it's got a second printing. Sent me.
Also, the titles of the magazines, the I Love, Love, Love Tamaki Special and Moe Moe Ouran Diaries 8 Glasses Special. First off,
yes.
I mean, I'd be first in line for that one. But, like, I just love how, like, ridiculous the titles were.
Yes, they're so ridiculous. But then at the same time, it's just like, these kids are making bank.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the newspaper club's like, how many did we sell? We sold 2 copies. And it was just to the 2 people in the newspaper club.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a shame. Sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we first see Tamaki in this episode, and he's just out in the hydrangeas and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, all the club shenanigans are great. Well, I think it said on the bottom of the screen, like, forbidden rendezvous play.
Right. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Which, shout out to, what was it? The Shugi Yugi, a mysterious play. Or whatever, that manga and stuff. And so when they were talking about, oh, it's this rendezvous play, like, I immediately thought of that.
Oh, that's great.
But then at the same time, I was just like, what is Tamaki doing with that girl in the hydrangea?
Right, and it was Carp Girl, too.
It was, because of her lips. Yes.
Yeah, I was happy to see her back.
Yeah.
I don't really understand the shell matching thing, like, the game of that, but just the fact that, like, the twins are amping it up way too much like they do, and the girls can't handle it. I mean, like, again, I don't ship the twins, the incest is weird, but I just think it's so funny that they just know what to do to get a reaction.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, in this episode, we actually saw girls with Kyoya. And I feel like that's very rare.
Right. He's always so busy being the Shadow King, but he's, like, watching the stream with them and sweet-talking them.
Going into the next thing, but still.
Right, right, right. Like, just immediately fishing to get them to buy tickets or, like, sign up for an event.
Yeah, yeah. But I was just like, wow, okay. Girls following Kyoya. I'd love to see more on that, you know? But,
maybe we will, but that's all I'm gonna say. I'm dropping a hint there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wanted to do one last, like, reference, because this is all within the same, like, scene. The fact that the twins called Tamaki, like, the Genji of the host club, and I understood that reference, guys, okay? Because back when I was, like, younger and I got into anime and manga, I wanted to learn Japanese, and my parents were like, teach yourself, which impossible. And so I tried reading The Tales of Genji, which is said to be, I guess, the world's first novel, and I was like probably 12, 13. I had no business reading it, but it's just like I didn't fully understand what was going on because there's no plot, so just like one thing or the other. But basically Genji is like a playboy, and so I was like, oh, look at that, I got the reference, I understood.
Oh, that's fantastic. See, like, stuff like that goes right over my head, so I'm really glad you picked up on that.
It's okay. I think it's specifically if I didn't have a distinct memory of me trying to read Tale of Genji, that would have went over my head as well. But yeah.
There is one more part of that host club scene where we have more and Honey trying to eat soba as a team. Oh. And Mori's the arms and Honey's the mouth, and it's just like, First off, like, how is that, like, host club activity, like, at an actual host club? It's just, like, the most wholesome, silly thing, and I love it so much.
It's so cute, because it's just like, Mori, can you breathe under there? Like,
right, right.
Yeah.
So moving on from that scene, when Tamaki is kicking the ball that ends up going through the window, he's just suddenly drawn in like a soccer uniform or I guess a football uniform.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very, very funny specific touch.
Yes. And then he does the starlight kick and we see that happen again. Like.
Yes. And they draw him in the uniform again later too.
Yes. I love that. I'm just like, why is he like this? But okay, you know.
He's precious sometimes.
Yes. And then it hit that guy. So it hit Akira.
Oh, poor Akira in that moment.
I guess.
In that moment. Getting hit with something sucks. Yeah.
It does. It does. Even if you're weird or bad. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. There is kind of a serious note that I have. I just really admire Tamaki's desire to help others not feel the pain he has felt in his own life. Mm-hmm. When he's talking about the newspaper club, saying like, a club's like a family, their family's about to be broken up. And I just really love that about him.
Yeah, you know, I feel like this is an episode where Tamaki came off just so wholesome.
Yes, yes.
And cute. And it's like, I understand the ship now. Like, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. This one, I remember particularly when I was watching the first time, feeling like I was getting more attached to this ship between Haruhi and Tamaki.
Yeah. Tamaki's like the bleeding heart of the host club.
Absolutely.
Anytime somebody comes with a problem, he's automatically like, oh, how can I help them? And so it's just interesting because, like, you know, like he wanted to have his way. And that was one of my likes, is the fact that the whole club was just like, no. Like, we refuse.
Yeah, because they saw what he couldn't see.
Yes, because, like, why would you want to help that musty man? Like, I mean, let's not say he's musty, but it's like, it looks dark in there, and they had all those newspapers and stuff. When you hoard paper and everything, there's a smell with it. I'm just saying.
There is, and also for it being a newspaper club and like they're supposed to be writing and reading stuff, they should probably have a few more lights on in there.
Exactly.
Like, that's so bad for your eyes.
Right? Like, how are you going to write anything if you can't see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if you have this too. Tamaki's puppy dog eyes.
Yes, I had Haruhi predicting Tamaki's puppy dog eye motives.
Yeah. I love that specifically Haruhi seems to be weak to them. Just in particular, she's like, oh no, he's going to do those puppy dog eyes and I'm going to give in.
Yeah, I think it's maybe a slight deep cut. It's because of Ranka.
Oh, well, yeah. And again, it kind of calls me back to what I was saying when we reviewed that episode with Ranka. There are a lot of similarities between them, and I'm wondering if that's on purpose.
Right. I feel like it's on purpose. You know, like, some people say this, I guess, depending on the relationship, that when a person is trying to, well, let's just say a girl, okay? If a girl's trying to get into a relationship with someone, that, like, sometimes they end up looking for traits of their father in the person that they're dating. And so I think that it was on purpose that Tamaki has similarities to Ranka. And I'm sure that Ranka also has some sort of puppy dog or some sort of act that eventually Haruhi gives into. So she's just more susceptible to that.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I also loved about that scene that all of the hosts give in because Kyoya, as the Shadow King, gave in first.
Yeah. Like, well, if Kyoya is saying yes, we might as well do. I mean, that's his power, though.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like, oh, well, you know, if he decides to do it, I don't want to be going against him. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, like, on par level of command as Tamaki.
Yeah.
What's one of your remaining likes?
Okay, so we ignore, like, Akira admitting to his antics and wanting to, like, destroy them or whatever. But just seeing Tamaki, like, play these childhood games and then talk to Haruhi about the fact that he never got a chance to play these sorts of games because he was, like, trying to make his mom happy by playing the piano and stuff for her when she was sick. I just thought it was so sweet that, like, the club members were sort of helping Tamaki relive his childhood. childhood that he missed out on.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like combining, I guess, two of my floats your boat into one. I love that they kind of humor Tamaki in that way and open themselves up to playing children's games with him and like getting to that level of imagination with him and letting their guards down that way. Mm-hmm. And I also loved, like, on a more like silly note, Tamaki's trying to tell the newspaper club that they can like try to teach them friendliness by playing yeah. these games, and they could use it as a heartwarming story. I thought that's a very funny, very far-fetched idea. And also, I really liked Tamaki taking Hadahi's hand while they're playing the game and running through the rose garden. And I remember the first time I was watching this, like him taking her hand and then all the roses, it just like made my heart flutter. And then they were like getting lost together, and they have a really genuine moment getting to know each other in like this gazebo, and Sakura Kiss is playing with like a string arrangement underneath all of it. It's just like this beautiful shoujo moment for me.
Yeah, it was very picturesque. And it was just nice, like, because, you know, at that time when he was explaining his childhood, like, you could see Haruhi softening towards him.
Yeah.
And I just loved that, because it's like, oh, okay, you know, this is the Tamaki I would love.
Yes.
Not yes. all that flowery bullshit that he, like, throws out, but just him being able to, like, be himself and be vulnerable. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. I think you had mentioned this in one of our episodes before, but when Tamaki is really his true self, that's when he shines the best.
Yeah.
I just had one more floats your boat. I think you either already touched on it or you probably definitely have this.
I feel like it might be the same. We probably have the same one.
Yeah, just the club being two steps ahead of Tamaki.
Oh, well, yeah, them defending him at the
yeah.
end.
Yes.
I was just full on. I was like, oh, guys. Oh.
Like, yeah, they just like proclaim that they really do love him and enjoy his company genuinely.
Yeah, and like you get to see when he asked each of them to be a part of the club with him.
Yeah.
My God, I was just like, oh, they really do like him, you know? Oh, like it would have been nice if he sort of saw it, but at the same yeah. time, I was just like, oh, I'm glad that, you know, that they're so dedicated to defending him. And they left him with Haruhi because, you know, that's what he wanted anyway. To have, like, right. time with her and stuff. And so it's like, we'll leave him with her while we go sort this shit out and defend yeah. him. And I just like how they made sure to note just how great of a person Tamaki is. And it's not just about who he is, but the type of person that he is, the type of friend and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And even cooler, which I guess Kyoya earned a couple more points back for me, was that he recorded everything because he's a badass and he knew exactly the way it was going to go. Mm-hmm. Love a man with a plan. You know, he said something about like the host club's families could get his dad fired, but they would never do that because they aren't like him. And like that had to hurt even more.
Yeah, because they are so wealthy that they don't even have to think about their place within their family's company. They don't have to think at that level, mm-hmm. or at least the way that Akira was thinking and stuff. Because him thinking that way, I guess it's just a show of how he doesn't have as much as they do. So he thinks that everyone moves with this motive of, I'm doing this for my family, or I'm doing this because I want to have power. But I feel like, you know, when people are really, like, example, when they're really wealthy, they don't have to be loud about it. They don't have to be, like, the newly rich. They'll be wearing, you know, the brands, different brands, but, like, the monogram stuff. So, like, LV or Balenciaga and stuff. So that people can tell, like, hey, I'm wearing something really expensive. Versus when you're wealthy, you don't even have to do all of that. You know, you could be wearing clothes and they look normal, but they're the most expensive thing in the world, and people wouldn't know, like, unless you decided to tell them. So I'm glad that the club was able to check Akira on that.
Yeah, same. So moving along, I'm curious what else you have, because I kind of only have one ice cream, you scream after floats your boat for this, so I'm not sure what else you have.
I think before we like got to know their character, like, I do have a banana split.
Okay.
It's the twins calling the newspaper like a trashy tabloid to their face. I was like, oh, Eustace said that to their, well, that's crazy. Like,
yeah, they really went there.
Yeah. So I was just like, I wasn't sure how to feel about it because I was just like, oh, are they bad? And then, you know, right after they left, then you kind of find out like, oh, like they are bad. So that was in Banana Split.
Okay.
But yeah. I don't know. I think it's just like small ice cream, ice cream.
Yeah, I have one and I meant to like go back and flesh this out and like write real sentences. But my only ice cream, ice cream, I just wrote the newspaper club's bitterness and morals. I mean, we've kind of touched on it a lot just throughout our Floats Your Boat already. They want to get more readers, but they're going about it in the wrong way and they're potentially harming people's reputations and of course like their feelings through what they're doing, and they're just so blinded by their bitterness that they can't see that there's so many better options in front of them.
Right. I mean, when I was watching the episode and they were complaining about nobody got the newspaper, I was just like, okay, well, since Oran is such a reputable school and I'm certain that there are people like coming to visit all the time, like, why don't they just make their newspaper quarterly? Because I got a little too realistic at that. I was like, why don't they just make it quarterly? And then when people come to visit the school, that's when you have these newspapers out. So then even if the students aren't getting it, then the people that are visiting would get it. But then if they're putting it like bad stuff into the newspaper that's not reputable, then that would be a bad idea. But then also the fact that they're able to even publish it is a little amazing just because of the fact that Oran is rich people school. So if you're publishing lies, how have they not had a lawsuit before?
Right. Like, I wonder how long they've been on this decline of writing trash like that.
Right. I feel like if you wrote a lie about me and I felt it was detrimental, I would sue. So,
oh yeah,
I guess they're actually lucky no one did anything.
Right. I've been over here thinking about your idea of them changing the schedule of the publication. That could have honestly saved them a ton of stress and really bulked out the quality of their paper. Even if they just went monthly, like just find a handful of stories that you could really report on monthly, as opposed to like tossing together this weird gossip rab every week.
Right? And I say that as I was a newspaper writer in high school, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, a little, the slightest expertise, not for real because I didn't do it past high school, but we didn't have new newspapers out all the time. Like, I think it was like, honestly, a once a month sort of thing, but.
Yeah, I don't think my high school paper came out more than like a couple times throughout the year.
Yeah, so I don't know. They could have just changed stuff up, but I was getting too realistic with that. So.
Yeah, that's all I have for this one. What do you have left?
I had one when Akira was just like, Tamaki is their enemy. And I'm like, how is Tamaki their enemy when he was their dead ass ally? Like, what? Just
yeah.
Seeing him spin this narrative. And then when his people that tried to speak up, he was just like, I'll ruin your parents' lives or some shit like that. I'll ruin your parents' business if you say more stuff. And so then they were quiet. But yeah, so I was ice cream about that. It's like, why would you? Tamaki is like a cinnamon roll. I mean,
oh my God. Yeah, he is.
With flaws, a flawed cinnamon roll. Like, maybe not all the glazes there, but he's still.
Yeah, it has too many raisins.
Right. But he's still a cinnamon roll. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And then I had, oh yeah, he said that the host club was supposed to be his underlings.
How? Why? When?
Right. And so I'm just looking at it. I'm like, if Kyoya, and we find out at the end of the episode that, you know, like Kyoya and the twins' family have so much stock in his newspaper that they could get his father fired. I'm just like, how did you, what sort of delusion do you have to
right.
ever think that these people who could get rid of your father in an instant would ever be your underling?
I wonder if it's because he's like a year older or something. I don't know.
I was just looking at him crazy. It's like, you doing a lot. So that's when that second starlight kick with the can, I was like, oh, do it. Yeah. Hit him again.
Yeah, it was definitely pretty satisfying.
Yeah, but that's all I have.
All right, well, let's head on into episode 15, The Refreshing Battle of Karuizawa. Here is our soft serve summary brought to us by Wikipedia. During summer break, Haruhi works at a pension in Karuizawa under the care of Misuzu Sanada, a friend of her father's. When the host club finds out, they helicopter there, much to Haruhi's dismay. Since they all want to stay at the pension, Misuzu conducts a refreshment contest to see who can have the only available room remaining. The contest involves getting chores done while having guests see handsome boys working on the property. Honey is disqualified as being too babyish, which also eliminates Mori by proxy. The twins have the upper hand as Tamaki struggles to be refreshing. Kyoya sits out on the competition but assists Tamaki, who charms Misuzu by playing the piano. In the end, Hikaru and Karu win by inadvertently demonstrating their brotherly love. They share a room, but in the morning, they're grumpy and rude. Just then, a friend of Haruhi's from middle school appears as a delivery boy and reconnects with Haruhi. And that is our soft serve summary. Chika, what is your theme?
I said, never give up because you just might win.
Okay, I like that. I have something similar. I put, this episode seems to be about going about getting what you want in creative ways.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have any sprinkles on top?
I do not. No, do you?
I realized that my very first filter boat could technically be a sprinkle on top. Hikaru's ringtone for Tamaki is Shisu, which is the ending theme of the anime. So it's kind of meta.
Oh my gosh. That was one of my filter boats. Not the ringtone, but why is Tamaki his screensaver?
I think it was just his face was flashing up with the phone call.
Oh, okay.
I would love it if he was his screensaver, though. I would like to think that, like, maybe when Hikaru wasn't looking, like, Tamaki changed his phone background.
right, yeah. Okay, but what you said makes more sense. Because I was just like, what? What's going on? Like, is there a fanfic that I should have been reading?
Like, is there a fanfic I should have been writing?
Like, right.
Oh, maybe later, guys.
Yeah.
But let's head on into Floats Your Boat. Going away from that one, I love that Tamaki has giant portraits of all of the hosts besides Haruhi in his home.
Yes, and like when he talks to them, he has to be looking at the portrait.
Yeah, it's incredibly specific.
Yeah. I also thought something that was funny, but then also weird, because I was just like, I don't know how to take this, was when, like, the twin maids came to get Karu and Hikaru out of the bed, and then they pull the covers off, and then all of a sudden there's elephant confetti, and I was just like,
Yeah, that weirded me out. I didn't know what to make of it.
I mean, I would attribute that more to babies and everything, right? Like, you have that thought. But, like, you know what? You're right, Gianna. That should have been banana split.
That's okay. Yeah, you know, I'm surprised that I didn't. I think I meant to write that down in banana split and didn't. But we can call that the honorary banana split right there.
Yeah. Because it's, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But keeping with the twins, I thought it was very nice that they got Haruhi a cell phone so that they could stay in touch, and they put her on the special friends and family plan. That's really cute and really sweet.
I'm wondering how she even, like, allowed it, because, you know, like, she's all about paying people back, but then she was just like, sure, you can give me the cell phone. Like, I guess she just didn't take it seriously because it's not like she's actively using it outside of, like, school or whatever.
Right. I bet that they're probably the only people she has in her phone besides maybe her father.
Right. And then I love that they were talking about the top five. It just reminded me of MySpace.
Yeah, because those really were the days, you know, back then.
Yeah, when it was coming out, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we have another instance of Tamaki's, like, the theater of Tamaki's mind.
Oh, twins, I have that too.
I love his silly daydreams. It's just him and Haruhi having, like, it's kind of a callback to the last episode. They're having, like, a forbidden rendezvous in the available room at Karuizawa, but it's like, she's an employee and she has to get back to work. It's so funny.
Yes. It's funny because the theater of his mind, he's talking to her the way he talks to the girls in the host club. But
yeah.
Since Haruhi actually works with him, she's not going to fall for that stuff.
Exactly. It's like, she knows how this goes.
Yeah. So it was just funny. And like when he's supposed to be coming out of it, he's literally on fire.
Yeah. He like really doesn't know how to contain these feelings and process them maturely.
Yeah. I also like, because, you know, I am the resident Mori stan here.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So I love how this episode is basically, oh my gosh, it's like an Easter egg to the manga itself, because I heard that Mori was actually supposed to be Endgame, but people liked Tamaki more. And so that's how that ended up happening.
Wow. Okay. That's super interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me, I need to also reread the manga and everything. But like, Mori was supposed to be Endgame, but it didn't pan out because more people liked Tamaki or whatever. And so when you see like Misusuchi is like, not Misusuchi, Kyoya's like, oh, like, you know, there's a dark horse in this game and it's Mori. And then yeah. I was just like, yeah, it's Mori. And then I thought of Dark Horse by Katy Perry. But, you know, I'm not the singer of this group, so I'm not going to
Don't worry. I'm not going to break out in a song.
Right, right. I was thinking about it because like I almost did it when I was watching. I was just like, ooh, coming at you like a dark horse. Course. Once you're mine, there's no going back. Yeah, Mori, yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if they did that on purpose, but it was sort of just meta of, oh, the dark horse in the game, the person that was actually supposed to be OTP was Mori, but it's not panning out because of Honey. So Tamaki's gonna win, although that didn't happen either. So
I almost wonder if, I can't remember like what volume this one was in, if like Mori was still Endgame at this point and Kyoya's literally just almost breaking the fourth wall in that way, just saying like, hey, there's a dark horse in this that you're not aware of.
Right? I'd have to go back to see which one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because I mean, oh my gosh, like, Bisco girl, I'm telling you, I mean, I know you made it to Maki, but alternate ending Mori because me, okay? Like, you were writing Mori for
because
me.
Please.
Like, with us. Actually, yes, Oren Part 2, or Oren College Host Club.
Oh my god, could you imagine?
Yeah, and then it's like Shoujo Sunday makes this appearance, and then you
yes.
Yes,
and you, I would love to voice act, personally.
Yes, and then, but it's like, we're in it, like, for real. Like, they do that, like, with Beyonce and, well, not Oprah, like, Beyonce, Michael Jackson, the Beatles, whatever. Like, you'll just see, like, famous people. Like, but it's us, though. And so then Kyoya's, like, trying to get with you. And then I'm trying to get with Mori.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm down.
Totally. Yeah. But actually, I think that the Dark Horse thing was the last Floats Your Boat that I had. So.
Yeah. The only real thing I had left in Floats Your Boat was just, I was just typing out everything that happened in that refreshing battle just because I thought it was so funny. But I feel like if you're listening, you've seen the episode. We've seen the episode. I don't have to just, like, list through all the things that happened. But I do want to ask, when you first originally watched the anime, were you rooting for Mori? Is that who you were rooting for to win the room?
No, I think I was into Tamaki at the time when I was younger.
Yeah, I was absolutely rooting for Tamaki when I watched this for the first time. And I like really thought that he had it when he started playing the piano. It was cool to see it twist, though.
Yeah, it was a good plot twist. I didn't expect the twins to still like win and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought Tamaki was going to win, and then he did it. And then Misusuchi kept twirling on the fucking roof.
You know? Yeah, that was insane.
It just reminded me of, you know, Renge with her powerful motor, except no motors, just Misusuchi just twirling on the roof. And I'm like, you are doing a lot on that little point.
Right. Didn't they say that Misusuchi reminded them of Renge?
Yes. They did, yeah.
So that's a perfect comparison.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see it. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you want to move into Banana Split?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm in the situation again where I just have 4 I Scream, You Scream left. So you can feel free to take it away.
Okay. So I feel like this should probably be Hot Fudge.
Ooh,
but I don't have Hot Fudge level anger, but it should be Hot Fudge.
Okay.
I have like Haruhi has a right to a break.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I pretty much have that in Ice Cream, You Scream. I just put Tamaki's delusions about Hatahi's whereabouts. They're just, like, ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, because I had that in Ice Cream, You Scream as well. Because it's just, like, why is it that he always thinks that Haruhi is going to be an indentured servant?
Right. Like, that in particular.
It's always that. And it's, like, can you stop imagining that? Like...
Yeah. It's, like, I guess... Like, for him being so rich, him thinking about having to do labor is, like, the worst thing. That's just me trying to make sense of it, not at all justifying it.
I feel that he doesn't rationally think about the fact that Haruhi and Ranka are very capable people. So even if they were down, they wouldn't be out for that long. And it's not as if they're unhirable either. I also thought it was kind of... crazy. Maybe this should also be partially in Hot Fudge, the fact that he was calling Ranka's job because he couldn't find where Haruhi was.
Yeah.
And like that nobody was answering, which is like, okay, nobody's answering. But I think that that's really alarming just because if Ranka didn't know any better, how scary is that if you're at work and then somebody's telling you that your child is missing, but they aren't missing, they're just working somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah. So I just thought that was also like a step too far because I wouldn't want somebody to be calling my parent and being like, Chika is missing. And it's like, I'm not missing. I'm just not talking to you. Like,
right. Like, I'm not missing. You just don't know where I am. Other people do, but you specifically do not.
Right. I mean, honestly, Kyoya wasn't supposed to know either because Ranka told.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have that in my Ice Cream, You Scream. Like, Kyoya knows way too much about Hatahi and, like, her father's personal life without her ever telling him about it.
Yeah, that just makes me, like, uncomfortable. I think that just, like I said, it just sort of all melds into, like, Hot Fudge. It's like Hot Fudge Ice Cream, You Scream right now.
Yeah.
I think Haruhi deserves to have a break. And if she wants to be away from these people, then she should be able to do that. There's really nothing wrong with having space, you know, because like there are different types of people. Like, I love friends, but do they need to answer to me 24/7? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah, I don't have that type of expectation from people who I call my friends or like even coworkers or at all. Like, I think that everybody has a right to do what they want to do in their private life. And this is her private life, which I guess that leads me into more Ice Cream, You Scream in that, or at least my last Ice Cream, You Scream is the fact that they're about to resort to blackmail because she was working for Mizuzuchi's bed and breakfast. And I guess they're not allowed to work in Oran.
Yeah, what confused me about that is that she was kind of just volunteering.
Yeah.
She wasn't getting paid to work, and it wasn't a formal internship in any way. So she was just kind of spending her summer the way she wanted to. So it kind of didn't even have any stock to it, the blackmail.
Right. But I think for me, like, it didn't have stock to it, so it's not as if she would have gotten in trouble, but I just don't like the inclination to even use it.
Yeah. Like, no, me neither.
As an avenue to control her, because it's not that deep. Like, her wanting to be at this bed and breakfast, and she was talking about catching up on schoolwork.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, and she doesn't have to answer to these people, like, about her whereabouts. And I think with Tamaki, and I'll say that's why I said, like, he's not a full cinnamon roll. Like, he is, but there are still some aspects that I dislike, and so it's just... I don't know. What is it? He seems, at least within this episode, he seems, but then they sort of all seem a little codependent on her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good either. I think you should be able to be separate from people and not play out these expectations you have in your mind for people when you don't even have that type of relationship, because she's not their child. She's not their girlfriend. She's just their friend / coworker, sort of. So,
yeah. My last Ice Cream, You Scream is that all of the hosts have cottages nearby to Pension Misuzu, but they just want to be in the same place as Haruhi. So that's why they're having this battle to stay there. And, like, obviously she's uncomfortable to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, again, this is her just not having boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really sad because it's like, what did you expect? I think even the idea, like, I know it was in the theater of Tamaki's mind, but like the idea that she was going to just personally come to your room and give you breakfast, and then you wanted to spend time with her while you were like sort of unclothed. Why would you think she's like that with guests?
Yeah.
What are you implying by imagining
right,
something
like what that. Kind of pension is this?
Right, because if it was that type of pension, I highly doubt Ronka would be like, yeah, I'm gonna send my kid over there.
Yeah, absolutely not.
There's no way. So
Yeah.
Well,
that is all I've got.
Hey, that's all I had too.
Cool. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Shoujo Sunday.
And it is time for our first ever patron shout out. So starting with our Sprinkles patrons, we have PJ and Pete, our Whipped Cream patron, Mark M, and our Hot Fudge patrons, Mackenzie, Aaron, Mark D, and AJ. Thank you guys so much for being our first patrons.
Also, if you would like to keep up with us during the week, you can follow us across all social platforms at Shoujo Sunday. And if you want to keep up with us individually throughout the week, you can follow me at Gianna_Luna_ everywhere. I'm most active on Twitter, Instagram, and sometimes Twitch. How about you, Chica?
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Chica Supreme. That's Chica with a K and not two C's.
Okay, guys, so we'll check back with you guys in a couple weeks with our next few episodes of Ouran High School Host Club. We will see you then.
See you then.
Bye.